Good morning. It is Thursday, February 16th. It's 8:59, and you're listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up, it's Press Watch, your weekly counter-propaganda left opinion program. At 9:30, Fight the Empire dives into American history of foreign interference, obstruction, and assassination. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. Dennis Bernstein comes in at 10:15 with flashpoints. At 11 on Between the Covers, we welcome Ursula K. Le Guin, one of the foremost public literary intellectuals, with her new book, Words Are My Matter. Thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on donate. It's 9 o'clock and up in about 1 minute, Press Watch with Teresa Mitchell.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. This month, because of the membership drive, the Program Advisory Committee will meet Tuesday, February 21st at 6 p.m. KBOO Community Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the Real Cool Film Series at the Clinton Street Theater. This month's film, Bayou Maharaja, is showing Thursday, February 16th at 7 p.m. Bayou Maharaja explores the life and music of New Orleans piano legend James Booker, the man Dr. John described as, quote, the best black, gay, one-eyed, junky piano genius New Orleans has ever produced, unquote. Illustrated with never-before-seen concert footage, rare personal photos, and exclusive interviews, the film paints a portrait of this overlooked genius. Again, that's Bayou Maharaja, Thursday, February 16th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. I have comments here from Dan Handelman's Cop Watch email from a few days ago. He says the officer who shot the 17-year-old kid Hayes, Andrew Hurst, also shot and killed a person named Merle Hatch in 2013, as mentioned in the Mercury in a blog article. And in People's Police Report number 59, by the way, if you're wondering how to get People's Police Report, you do that by joining Cop Watch. They are also a membership organization. He writes, in that case, Hurst used an AR-15 assault rifle to shoot Hatch, who was holding the broken receiver from a telephone. The white 56-year-old man, who was suicidal, you may remember from last week, and lived through his shooting on Thursday, is Don Allen Perkins. Though the police claim there was an enhanced crisis intervention team member communicating with Perkins, it appears, Handelman writes, that the Bureau's training is to throw any attempt at de-escalating a situation out the window as soon as there's a hint of unrest. And he also says the Department of Justice is here to get the PPB to stop using so much force on people in mental health crisis. And he writes, I'm not sure it's working. More from the report, two officers shot at Perkins. One, Bradley Clark, shot and wounded Marcus Lagazino, also with an AR-15 rifle. That's a war rifle, in case you don't know. When Lagazino, in mental health crisis, was holding a machete, and officers threw out their plan to contain him, the other officer, Roger Walsh, is not someone we have records on for previous incidents, he writes. And he writes, I guess we should give Mayor Wheeler some credit for making a statement contextualizing Hayes' death among the ongoing rash of African-Americans killed, even at a news conference where they paraded out replica handguns they said each man was carrying, thus pre-justifying the shootings. Again, that's from Portland Cop Watch. Speaking of member-supported organizations, we did it. We made our goal, or pretty darn close, at KBOO, and I just want to thank you for making it happen once again. In your face, commercial radio, we've been here for almost 50 years now. This is the 50th anniversary of the Summer of Love. Probably some of the energy of that went into the formation of KBOO in 68. Certainly it was present afterwards, and there's going to be celebrations in San Francisco. And we're going to be celebrating next year here, and we're starting up now. Part of that celebration will certainly be the Fuzzy Boo. If you don't know what that is, the Fuzzy Boo is a big van that's covered in, well, fuzz. And it's a cheery thing to look at. And it's a great little ambassador for KBOO Radio, and I've been given temporary custody of it. The idea being that I'm going to rustle up a pressure washer and some electrical expertise. So this is a shout out to you. If you love KBOO, if you understand why we need the Fuzzy Boo van, we need a visual presence. We need a physical presence so people understand that this station is even here, because, you know, it's just easy for commercial media to drown out people's media. And so I think that thing is essential. It needs a little electrical work, not a lot. I was trying to find the right fuse night before last, and I couldn't. And needs a power washing, needs a real good power washing. So look, if you have access to power washing equipment, if you have electrical expertise, I want you to contact the station, not right now. Wait a bit until we get someone ready to take your call, sometime in the next hour, let's say. And leave a message for me so I can get back to you, because we want to clean that thing up, and that's part of People's Community Radio. And once again, thank you for supporting us during the recently successfully concluded membership drive. Okay, now let's talk about those handguns, replica handguns. Their handy appearance related to both shootings in a day made me think of throwdown weapons. Did it make you think of throwdown weapons? You know, guns planted at shooting scenes by cops in order to throw off investigations. Of course, I have no idea if I'm being unfair to these particular cops. I'm just saying that there is a context, and a quick search, and I do mean quick, I mean like 2-minute search, indicated how common planted evidence is nationwide. I found articles right away, and you can too, from New York Daily News, MassLive.com, RollingOut.com, RawStory.com. So this was easy. Let me quote some of this text. This from New York Daily News. St. Louis police officer who killed a suspect has been accused of planting a gun in his victim's car after a new video of the shooting's aftermath emerged. Clips from police and surveillance footage obtained by the St. Louis Post-Dispatch show what happened after Officer Jason Stockley shot 24-year-old Anthony Lamar Smith in December 2011. Stockley was charged with murder earlier this year after prosecutors said that new evidence had emerged of the high-speed chase that began with a suspected drug deal outside a chicken restaurant. Video and audio from inside the police car show the officer saying, "Going to kill this mother F, don't you know it," during the chase. He and his partner eventually rammed Smith's rental car, and if you watch the video, oh boy, did they ram it. They rammed it so hard they knocked the glass out. They hit it with their SUV, great big police SUV, and Stockley jumped out and fired 5 rounds after walking up to the driver's window. And if you watch that, it's pretty clearly an execution. The officer said in a memo obtained by the Post-Dispatch that he saw a silver handgun in his hand when he was in the car at the restaurant, and he believed that Smith was reaching for a gun after the crash. He wrote that he found the silver handgun between the center console and the passenger seat and unloaded it. However, court documents say that only Stockley's DNA was found on the gun, and relatives of Smith say that it was planted in the car by the officer himself. North Carolina law might block Keith Lamont Scott body cam video. I think actually that information may be out of date, but after the shooting, Stockley is seen returning his personal AK-47 style pistol. I guess what they really mean is a AK-47 rifle with pistol grip, which he was not authorized to carry, back to his police SUV. He later returns and rifles through a duffel bag in the backseat before Smith is taken out of his car and Stockley gets inside for the remainder of the video. So here's another example. An article in Massachusetts Live notes that most charges in a heroin possession case thereabouts were dropped due to the corrupt habits of an officer involved. Quote, defense attorneys have repeatedly cited the videos which show Officer Bigda threatening to plant drug evidence on one of the teens and threatening physical violence against both of them in order to call his credibility as a witness into question, end quote. Here's another one. This one from Rolling Out. Floyd Dent is an employed, hardworking black man who was assaulted by a City of Inkster, Michigan police officer. Dent is seen in a police dash cam video driving at a normal rate of speed, stopping for police when he noticed their flashing blue lights. What happened next brings to mind the infamous Rodney King video. As police punch, choke, and taser Dent, and a total of six police officers jump on the man, Dent was charged with resisting arrest, assault on police officers, and possession of crack cocaine. One officer, identified as William Melendez, took particular delight in putting Dent in a chokehold and delivered a series of 16 blows to his head and face until Dent was knocked out. Melendez was once accused of planting drugs on a suspect. An Arizona cop, they put in a headline, was caught in a video planting a crack pipe on a mentally ill homeless woman. Officer Richard Chrisman of the Phoenix Police Department was caught on camera putting drug paraphernalia down the dress of a woman described as homeless and mentally ill. Brooklyn, New York, a detective testified that planting evidence on innocent people is common practice. That's a quote. In 2008, former narcotics detective Stephen Anderson testified in court saying that planting evidence is, quote, common practice, end quote, known to cops as flaking. Anderson stated he provided drugs to another officer who was going to be demoted if he didn't have a drug arrest. From RawStory.com on the death of Ricky Ball at the hands of the Columbus Police Department, quoting, although officers on the scene were intimidating the people watching this incident by pointing guns in these people's faces, telling them to get in the house and to get out of their own windows, some people still managed to see officers tase Ricky while he's laying there bleeding to death. Neighbors also managed to see an officer plant a gun near where they had laid Ricky after pulling him from underneath a home. The paramedics involved took entirely too long to move from their staging area up the street from where Ricky was laying to the actual place where Ricky was laying. The paramedics did not leave the scene to take Ricky to the hospital with any sirens on or any interior lights on or any police escorts. The paramedics left the shooting in no hurry at all, as if they were carrying a dead body, even though Ricky was alive when they put him inside the ambulance. In this context, speaking for myself, in this context, and again, it was very easy to find these articles, taking less than 2 minutes search, you can see why it seems suspicious indeed that two replica guns were found at two PPD shootings in one day. Maybe it's a coincidence, but replica guns are easy to get online, and handily, they have no registration nor serial numbers about them. So, following on to that, there's an article by John Whitehead in counterpunch.org, and it's titled, Coming Soon to a City Near You, Military Policing. This follows on what you were just listening to in the last hour about impoverishment and the offshoring of jobs and the automation of jobs. We are facing a real crisis coming up in the next few years because driver automation is very, very close. And some 15% of blue-collar jobs, if I remember correctly, are driving jobs. These are some of the last, sometimes decent-paying, sometimes not so well-paying, jobs that are available to the public. These are about to be replaced. Millions of people are about to be put out of work by this and other forms of automation. This is coming up. And I think it's important to bear in mind that technology is our common inheritance. The prosperity produced by technology belongs to all of us. We have, as a culture, produced technology from the ground up. And the proper distribution, the rational distribution of the wealth created by technology and the wealth in a society generally is a human right. That's a very basic concept. It is a Marxist concept, I'm not ashamed to say, and it is entirely correct because we see what happens when wealth is wildly and maniacally maldistributed. This is what is happening now. We have people capable of buying entire countries, flying around in jets, with marble bathrooms, with gold fixtures. I'm not even making that up. And 99.9% of us working for a living. And that's just not, it's not sustainable. It creates problems. And the U.S. military sees the problems, has projected the problems ahead, as if there will never be an awakening of the American people to their right to a basic universal income. You have a right to this. And if I can remember, in a few minutes after I've gone through this article about militarization of policing, I want to give you some information about what you can do about your situation right now. because you need that too. But looking to the future, according to Megacities Urban Future, the Emerging Complexity, the name of a Pentagon training video created by the Army for U.S. Special Operations Command, the U.S. military plans to use armed forces to solve future domestic political and social problems. Let me say that again. The U.S. military plans to use armed forces to solve future domestic political and social problems. What they're really talking about, he writes, is martial law. John Whitehead's article in Counterpunch. Martial law packaged as a well-meaning and overriding concern for the nation's security. The chilling 5-minute training video obtained by The Intercept through an FOIA request and made available online paints an ominous picture of the future, a future the military is preparing for, bedeviled by criminal networks. These are their quotes. Substandard infrastructure, religious and ethnic tensions, impoverishment, slums, open landfills, overburdened sewers, and a growing mass of unemployed, and an urban landscape in which the prosperous economic elite must be protected from the impoverishment of the have-nots. That's the 99.9% of us. And then comes the kicker. He writes, 3.5 minutes into the Pentagon's dystopian vision of a world of Robert Kaplan-esque urban hellscapes, brutal and anarchic supercities filled with gangs of youth gone wild, arrest of underclass, criminal syndicates, and bands of malicious hackers, the ominous voice of the narrator speaks of a need to drain the swamps. Drain the swamps, he writes. Surely we've heard that phrase before. Yes, emblazoned on T-shirts and signs, shouted at rallies, used as a rallying cry among Trump supporters. Drain the swamp became one of Donald Trump's most used campaign slogans, along with build the wall and lock her up. Funny how quickly the tides can shift and the tables can turn. Whereas Trump promised to drain the politically corrupt swamps of Washington, D.C., of lobbyists and special interest groups, the U.S. military is plotting to drain the swamps of futuristic American cities of non-combatants and engage the remaining adversaries in high-intensity conflict within. And who are these non-combatants? A military term that refers to civilians who are not engaged in fighting. They are, according to the Pentagon, adversaries. They are threats. They are the enemy. And he goes on to say, they're you. You're the enemy because you are not rich. And I said I wanted to give you a way to deal with the situation that you're in. And that is simply that for a great number of people, as we face jobs that are poor paying, jobs that are ephemeral, jobs that you have to switch from, you're going to look at periods of time, for whatever reason, in which you don't have sufficient to make that mortgage. You don't have sufficient to make that rent. And you got bills. And so if you're like a lot of people, what you do is you use your credit cards to patch you through, but eventually you get to the point where enough little disasters pile on each other that you really just can't make the bills. And then you start thinking about how you can use that pistol to blow your brains out. Well, don't do that. Instead, consider going to a bankruptcy lawyer. There's still Chapter 13 bankruptcy. Chapter 7 has been effectively wiped out. But Chapter 13 can be very helpful if you have any income at all. And if you talk to a lawyer, even if you decide not to do Chapter 13, you will come out of the talk, and it's a free talk by and large. You can set up a free talk with a lawyer. You will come out of it much better informed about your situation, and you will be much less desperate. You'll be much less stressed. Now, think about that. What would that be like? I know a lot of you listening to me right now are thinking, oh my God, what am I going to do about the rent? What am I going to do about the mortgage? One thing we need to do is understand that this is our common crisis and we need to band together. But the other thing right now, you need to understand that you can go and talk to a lawyer. Do it. Don't putz around. Go to a lawyer. And another thing you can do, which includes the advice I just gave, is to go to Debt Resistor's Manual. Just look that up with a search engine. If you don't do the internet, get someone to print it out for you. It's free. The Debt Resistor's Manual. They've changed it now, so it's not ORS, it's Resist ERS. Debt Resistor's Manual. Just remember that, will you? Debt Resistor's Manual. There's a lot of things you need to know about the debt that you owe, especially on credit cards, and that is that debt, that money, did not exist until you created the debt. A mind-bending concept, but true. So stop feeling guilty about it and start acting to protect yourself and your family by getting Debt Resistor's Manual. And call up a lawyer right now if you need to. If you have any income at all, you can file Chapter 13. It can be converted later, is my understanding. I'm not a lawyer and I don't play one on the radio, but if I understand correctly, it can be converted later to Chapter 7 if you don't have any income under certain circumstances and you just won't know the details to. You talk to the lawyer, so do it, do it, do it. Why suffer? Now, returning to the article by John Whitehead about military policing, they're looking at just basically the Pentagon is looking rationally at the situation as it is right now, where the population is so utterly manipulated that 60 plus million people voted for that thing in the White House. And they believe that swill, which is constantly going out via Fox News and all the other right-wing sources. And the poor things don't have access to community radio. That's pretty clear. By the way, have you ever considered that there's probably 2-3 people you know who would benefit, who would greatly enjoy having the huge variety of music, the uplifting, I mean, seriously uplifting, life-improving variety of music on this radio station, whose minds would be improved by the public affairs and the constant hint that we make that people should develop a rational process? You can do that. Just tell them that KBOO exists. You're listening to KBOO Portland, KBOO 90.7 FM, and KBOO.FM on the web. Spread it around, will you? Maybe via social media, maybe via a tweet. Why don't you make a tweet that mentions KBOO.FM and how free it is and how interesting it is, and maybe mention your favorite programs. Needs to be spread around. And as I was mentioning before, our visual aspect part of that is the fuzzy boot. I need a bit of help with that. I was thinking, of course, I have to bring this up to the staff, but I was thinking that that strange stringy thing on top maybe ought to be glitterized, you know, orange or silver glitter or something. Fun we could have with that, and will actually help us. So do call the front desk on that later on, and leave a note for me, won't you? And we'll see if we can get that fixed up. Now, I was talking about the militarization, as described by John Whitehead, coming to a city near you, military policing. And as I was saying, from the Pentagon's perspective, you know, they're not looking at radical social change. They're just projecting forward what is actually happening. The crushing situation of capitalism that we currently face and projecting it forward. And so they plan they'll just go to war with us. He describes adversaries, according to the Pentagon, they are threats. They are the enemy. They are people who don't support the government, people who live in fast-growing urban communities, people who may be less well-off economically than the government and corporate elite, people who engage in protests, people who are unemployed, people who engage in crime in keeping with the government's fast-growing, overly broad definition of what constitutes a crime. In other words, in the eyes of the U.S. military, non-combatants are U.S. citizens, a.k.a. domestic extremists, a.k.a. enemy combatants who must be identified, targeted, detained, contained, and if necessary, eliminated. Welcome to Battlefield America. In the future imagined by the Pentagon, any walls and prisons that are built will be used to protect the societal elite, the haves, from the have-nots. We are the have-nots. Suddenly it all begins to make sense, he writes. The events of recent years, the invasive surveillance, the extremism reports, the civil unrest, the protests, the shootings, the bombings, the military exercises, active shooter drills, the color-coded alerts and the threat assessments, the fusion centers, the transformation of local police into extensions of the military, the distribution of military equipment and weapons to local police forces, the government databases containing the names of dissidents and potential troublemakers. This is how you prepare a populace to accept a police state willingly, even gratefully. And I would add, just speaking for myself, we're there. The tracked vehicle is in the garage, downtown Portland. The rate of incarceration is insane and extreme, and we accept it. And 60 million of us at least accept it enthusiastically and think we should do more to be belligerent to ourselves. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187, and Phil is on the air.
Oh, I'd like to say thanks to President Obama on what you were just highlighting there about putting a cute smile and a polite face onto fascism and authoritarian state. But I just wanted to say thank you, Teresa. You do a great job, and you're kind of the local community radio version of Glenn Greenwald telling the truth. and
well, that's flattery indeed.
Yeah, but I just wanted to make a comment because I'm surprised I haven't heard anything yet about the two biggest warmongers and terrorist exporters discussing their deeds yesterday, being Bibi Netanyahu and the King Clown talking about how interested they were in peace in the Middle East.
Yeah, Bibi's pretty happy about that. I've never been happy about Bibi. I've been very, you know, I hesitate every time I start to say it because I live in the United States and I've got the log to pull out of my own eye, to use a religious metaphor. But Israel, why do you want to go that route? Ugh.
Yeah, especially with the scary realization a lot of fundamentalist Christians want in an attack with Iran and Israel to step up there because they feel like it's a second coming then. So, yeah, we live in interesting times, but KBO and community radio stations definitely highlight where reality and real news comes from.
Thanks for calling in. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Again, congratulations on successfully supporting the radio station once again. I knew that we would, even though I think most people are still stunned post-Trump and worried and a little paralyzed. There's enough of us, and especially the KBOO audience, I knew that there's enough of us that we would get that roar of support. It was funny. It played out pretty much exactly as we expected. On the first day we did the membership drive, it was kind of quiet. And we were saying to each other, you know, people are stunned. And other people are saying, yeah, watch this. And then y'all called in and came to the rescue once again. So we still have a community radio station. I'm so proud of that. Number to call, 503-231-8187. In Counterpunch, he writes, it's happening already, the sight of police clad in body armor and gas masks, wielding semi-automatic rifles and escorting an armored vehicle through a crowded street, a scene likened to a military patrol through a hostile city, no longer causes alarm among the general populace. That's a hell of a statement. I remember during Occupy, at that time I was a bus driver and I drove through downtown Portland and saw a scene that was just out of a dystopian sci-fi. Why do you sci-fi writers always write dystopias? Anyway, because they're boring. But it was out of a sci-fi dystopia, and it was just all these armed police with their special weapons and their face masks. When I say all these, I mean there must have been hundreds. On my right as I headed north, and on the left, Pioneer Courthouse Square and people with signs, as far as the eye could see, ugly. Oh, my God. And the bus could barely get through there, and yeah, I think he's right. We've gotten used to that. How did that happen? You okay with that? Because I'm not. That's fascism's police state. Let's roll it back. He writes, few seem to care about the government's endless wars abroad that leave communities shattered, families devastated, and our national security at greater risk of blowback. We're just talking about Israel. Blowback. He writes, indeed, there were no protests in the streets about U.S. Military forces raiding a compound in Yemen, killing, quote, at least 8 women and 7 children, ages 3 to 13, end quote. Their tactics are working, he writes. We've allowed ourselves to be acclimated to the occasional lockdown of government buildings, Jade Hill military drills in small towns so that special operations forces can get realistic military training in hostile territory, and live active shooter drill training exercises carried out at schools and shopping malls and on public transit, which can and do fool law enforcement officials, students, teachers, and bystanders into thinking it's a real crisis. Still, he writes, you can't say we weren't warned. Back in 2008, an Army War College report revealed that widespread civil violence, this is a quote inside the United States, would force the defense establishment to reorient priorities in extremists to defend basic domestic order and human security, end quote. The 44-page report went on to warn that potential causes for such civil unrest could include another terrorist attack, unforeseen economic collapse, loss of functioning political and legal order, purposeful domestic resistance or insurgency, pervasive public health emergencies, and catastrophic natural and human disasters, end quote. In 2009, reports by the Department of Homeland Security Service that labeled right and left-wing activists and military veterans as extremists, a.k.a. terrorists, and called on the government to subject such targeted individuals to full-fledged pre-crime surveillance. Yeah, that's what it says. I didn't make that up. Pre-crime surveillance. Almost a decade later, after spending billions to fight terrorism, the Department of Homeland Security concluded that the greater threat is not ISIS, but domestic right-wing extremism. I wonder how long it took them to come to that conclusion. Meanwhile, the government has been amassing an arsenal of military weapons for use domestically and equipping and training their troops, meaning our police, for war. Even government agencies with largely administrative functions such as the Food and Drug Administration, the Department of Veterans Affairs, and the Smithsonian have been acquiring body armor, riot helmets and shields, cannon launchers, and police firearms and ammunition. In fact, there are now at least 120,000 armed federal agents carrying such weapons who possess the power to arrest. Rounding out this profit-driven campaign to turn American citizens into enemy combatants and America into a battlefield as a technology sector has been colluding with the government to create a big brother that is all-knowing, all-seeing, and inescapable. It's not just the drones, fusion centers, license plates, readers, Stingray devices, and the NSA that you have to worry about. You're also being tracked by the black boxes in your cars, your cell phones, smart devices in your home, grocery, loyalty cards, social media accounts, credit cards, streaming services such as Netflix, Amazon, and ebook reader accounts, all under our noses. And you can find that article on counterpunch.org. Stay tuned, because coming up, we've got Per Fagering, and you'll want to be listening to that. You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, other frequencies in Cascadia, and via KBOO.FM to all the ships at sea.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the screening of Now is the Time, Healthcare for Everybody. The screening takes place on Saturday, February 18th at 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church in Portland. Now is the Time, Healthcare for Everybody is a documentary film that advocates for universal, affordable, single-payer healthcare for everyone and demonstrates the power of the people to make a difference even in the face of seemingly insurmountable obstacles. Again, that's Now is the Time, a documentary screening Saturday, February 18th at 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church, 1211 Southwest Salmon Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the KBOO homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations